So our third presenter is Andrea Bradley-Ewing. She is the project director of KC Kansas City Quest at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And she's going to talk about delivering information to African American smokers who are not motivated to quit.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. All right. Well, we're almost at the end. I feel like everybody needs to like stretch because you've probably been sitting in session after session. And I'll try to get through this and make this a little fun and high energy for people, but also convey the information that's really important. Before I go any further, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors because I promised them I would do that. Belwin Catley, Kathy Goggin, Carrie Harris, Kimber Richter, Christy Patton, Karen Williams, Ken Resnikow, Young Lee, and Jose Marino. Okay. And I also need to disclose that I have no financial relationships to disclose. I'd also like to acknowledge the project funders, the National Cancer Institute, for providing the funds. Without them, this work would not have been possible. I'd also like to acknowledge Pfizer, who supported Chantix during the course of our study through their investigator-initiated research support. I'd also like to acknowledge the project staff, who so often on these projects get ignored, but I want to make sure that I acknowledge them and the student research assistants who, without their diligence, this work would not have been possible. So just a brief background, and I'll just hit this really fast because I'm sure many of us in the room are familiar with the public health impact of smoking. So roughly 19% of U.S. adults are current smokers, 43.8 million people. The effects of cigarette smoking are well documented and well known. It is the leading cause of preventable death and disease in this country. It's estimated that 8.5 million Americans are currently living with a smoking-related disease. And each year, smoking accounts for 440,000 deaths. When we look at the prevalence in the African American community, on the whole, the rates of smoking among African Americans mirrors that of the general population in that 19.4% of African Americans smoke. However, research that's focused on African Americans who live in the inner city, where there's often a high concentration of poverty, those rates are as high as 45%. There's also significant health disparities in terms of smoking in African Americans. Research has demonstrated that on average, African Americans smoke fewer cigarettes than their white counterparts. They also initiate smoking later in life. However, they're disproportionately affected by a number of smoking-related illnesses like COPD, emphysema, heart disease. One specific example of that is, of course, even though African American males smoke fewer cigarettes than white males, they're 34% times as likely to be diagnosed with lung cancer. And again, African American women, there's that health disparity as well. Even though they start smoking later in life and they smoke fewer cigarettes, the rates of lung cancer between African American women and white women are virtually the same. So this really leads us to really exploring really significant ways to promote quitting in very vulnerable populations. It's estimated that, 69% of smokers are interested in quitting. You know, you would be very hard-pressed in this day and age to find a single person who doesn't know that smoking is bad for them. However, there's only 20% of people who are ready to quit smoking at any given time. And one of the major, I don't want to say problems with the research, but one thing that's been largely ignored is much of the tobacco cessation research has focused on that 20% who are actively ready to quit and they are seeking assistance with quitting, while really largely ignoring those people who, as I like to say, I want to quit, but one day, just not today. The research shows that African Americans are more likely than any other group to make quit attempts, but they're less likely to succeed. And there's been a lot of sort of explanations about this phenomenon, some saying that the rates of nicotine dependence is higher in African Americans than the general population. And also, studies have shown that African Americans smokers, 75% smoke menthol cigarettes, which some have argued are more addictive and more difficult and make quitting more difficult. All right, so we are probably all familiar with the clinical practice guidelines, and this is for practitioners, health educators, and this just really outlines the steps and the strategies that we are to use in really promoting cessation among active smokers. So the clinical guidelines just ask that we assess the relevant risk of smoking. So providing detailed information that smoking is bad for you, you increase your risk of lung cancer and heart disease, those kinds of things. Also providing information about the rewards of quitting. And what we found in a lot of our research is what resonates with many of our participants is not necessarily the benefits to health of quitting, but one of the most salient things is the financial benefits. Again, I've never ran into someone who enjoys spending $6 or $7 a day to smoke a pack of cigarettes. And so getting that picture of the savings and how much money you could save often resonates with people. And then, of course, overcoming those roadblocks to quitting. If there's 69% of smokers who actually want to quit, we want to look at what's getting in the way and how can we overcome that. And then finally, the guidelines recommend that we use a motivational interviewing style. And I put motivational interviewing in quotations because a lot of times that phrase is tossed around, and many providers and many clinicians feel like, yeah, I use motivational interviewing. But then when you actually code some of those sessions and you really look into that, you're like, not really. So just to kind of give you a background of what motivational interviewing is again, it's an approach to counseling that was established by Miller and Rolnick. And motivational interviewing is more of a client-centered approach to counseling. It is very collaborative, very evocative, and supportive of the client's autonomy. A motivational interviewing counselor uses a lot of reflective listening. They often refrain from providing advice unless it's specifically asked for by the clients. There's shared decision-making, and the real goal of the motivational interviewing counselor is to really elicit change talk. And so I'm going to put my colleague here on the spot, Carol Bo Thompson, and we're just going to do like a little brief 30-second role play of what this intervention looked like in our study. Okay? All right. All right, so Carol, tell me, what are your thoughts and your feelings about your current level of smoking?
Well, I smoke about a pack a day. Can you hear me? Well, I smoke about a pack a day, and I really wish I didn't smoke that much. Mm.
So you have some real concerns about your current level of smoking, and you really wish there was a way you could reduce it.
Yeah, well, I stress out a lot at work, and it's hard. It's hard to reduce that stress. Mm. So I do.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yep.
So that's just kind of a brief overview of what we did in our intervention. And I have to say that in developing this intervention, one thing that we did is we actually recorded just some of the typical interactions that occurred in hospitals with physicians and their patients. And they didn't sound the same, let me just say that. But, as much as people embrace motivational interviewing, in looking at the effect of motivational interviewing and its impact with African Americans, it's really been a mixed bag. Some studies have shown that MI is well received by African Americans, that it's been viewed as a good communication tool. And a study by Ken Resnikow and his colleagues found that using motivational interviewing was really effective in increasing and promoting health behaviors such as fruit and vegetable intake in the African American church community. However, along with all of the success, there have been some other studies that have shown that maybe MI doesn't work so well for this population. In one study, Miller and colleagues found that some of the participants seem to be a little bit frustrated with the motivational interviewing style of counseling. It wasn't perceived to be as effective as more expert-oriented types of counseling. And some of the quotes, and I'm just going to paraphrase, were, you know, he was asking the patient more of what they should do rather than telling him. And he should know, he's the doctor. And so that kind of leads us to this more sort of health expert or health education approach to counseling. And that's really an alternative approach to MI. As consistent with the guidelines in this approach, it's more of an authoritative approach where the counselor would discuss the relevant risk of smoking, the rewards of quitting, and problem-solving roadblocks to quitting, very similar to what we're outlined to do in the clinical guidelines. So compared to MI, health education is less collaborative, less interactive, and it's less supportive of the client's autonomy. So basically what you'll find in a health education session, the patient gets very little time to talk. So it might sound something like this. And I'm going to ask Carol to be my, well, you could actually stay there because you're not going to say much during this one. All right. Well, Carol, you've told me that you're short of breath lately and that you're coughing up a lot of phlegm or mucus, and I just want to take this opportunity to tell you that, you know, smoking does increase your risk for a number of other health problems like COPD, emphysema, you're increasing your risk of lung cancer, heart disease, you've been diagnosed with diabetes, and so this is really wreaking havoc on your health. So there's no debate in the medical community that smoking damages every organ in your body. So the best thing for you to do would be to quit. Any questions?
No.
Okay. So you can see how that's distinctly different from health education. And, you know, we share in health education, like, you know, this is the lung of a smoker, this is the lung of a non-smoker, these are all the health benefits of quitting. Well, the purpose of this study was to really examine ethnic group differences in preference for expert advice regarding smoking, and to really explore if these ethnic differences related to therapeutic alliance or study satisfaction when comparing motivational interviewing with health education. So this is a part of a bigger study, Casey Quest. It was a randomized controlled trial to test the efficacy of motivational interviewing compared to health education for inducing quit attempts among unmotivated smokers. The project was based in Kansas City, Missouri, near the urban core. 67% of our participants were African American. All right, so the inclusion criteria for our study was that you had to be a daily smoker. You couldn't currently be using any medications to help you quit. You had to be at least 18 years of age or older. And you had to be not motivated or not ready to quit. And that was defined as ranking your motivation on a 0 to 10 scale as a 6 or lower. So we were able to recruit 255 community residents. And I do just want to take a note because during the development of this grant, one of the concerns that we heard often from reviewers was, how are you going to recruit smokers who don't want to quit to be a part of your study? And we thought, you know, wow, well, what if we have a problem with recruitment? And actually, recruitment for this project went really well. In fact, there were times that we had a backlog of participants, and we had to develop a waiting list because we had so many participants trying to get into the study at once. The recruitment methods that we used, the most successful was word of mouth. We also placed ads in local newspapers. Like locally, it was The Pitch, which was a free newspaper that's available in any coffee shop or bar that you frequent in the city. So 255 community residents, and at baseline, each participant was randomized to one of three treatment arms. So brief advice was a one-session, five-minute intervention designed to really mimic what you would receive from your primary healthcare provider. We know that, you know, healthcare providers are really short on time, and they don't have 30 minutes to spend with their patients, so it was one session, 5 minutes. The health education arm consisted of 4 counseling sessions that were each 30 minutes long, and the MI session, the MI arm was, again, 4 sessions that were 30 minutes long. So participants were asked to complete up to 4 counseling sessions and 3 computer surveys, and they were reimbursed for their time and travel. All right, so this is just kind of the baseline characteristics of our sample. 57% were male, the mean age was 46, slightly higher in the African Americans. A significant portion of our sample had a monthly income of less than $1,000, 64% of the African Americans in our study, 58% overall. The mean number of cigarettes smoked per day was lower, slightly lower in the African American group. The motivation to quit for these groups were really low. Quit attempts in the past 3 months, so really consistent with what the literature has already reported, that nearly 14% of the African Americans who were not motivated to quit had tried to quit in the previous 3 months. And then we also looked at severity of dependence. So at baseline, all participants were asked to rank on a scale from 1 to 5, with 1 being that you strongly agree with the statement and 5 being that you strongly disagree with the statement. And so the question was, when it comes to my smoking, I want an expert to tell me what to do. And there was a significant difference in how African Americans compared to whites responded to this question. So again, 1 indicates strong agreement with the statement. So as we look, the p-value was 0.04, but that African Americans, more than any other racial group, tended to have stronger agreement with that statement. I do want to note also, though, that even though there was a significant difference between the groups, overall there was just about a marginal agreement, just a slight agreement with that statement across all groups. All right. And we also looked at counselor alliance and study satisfaction by group. One of the things that we wanted to do before looking at any group effects was to really make sure that our health education intervention really differed from our motivational intervention. Now, we all thought it did, but it's one thing to think that you're doing the right thing and then one thing to have that verified. So we actually had 15% of all of our counseling sessions in the HE and MI arms independently coded by a group that specializes in motivational interviewing coding. So as you can just kind of see, there are significant differences in some of the variables that we would expect these two interventions to differ in, like empathy, collaboration, autonomy, support. And if you go down to giving information, you can see that that was significantly higher in the health education arm than the motivational interviewing arm, which is what we expected. Okay, when looking at counselor alliance by ethnicity and group, and this is a 12-item scale, and some of the questions included things like, my counselor and I agree on what's important for me to work on, or I feel that my counselor respects me. There was no significant difference between, there was no significant interaction of race or group in this measure. And so we used general linear modeling to really examine the predictive value of race and group, and there was no significant difference here. Most of the participants, regardless of group, if they were MI or BA, tended to think they had great alliance with their counselor. And then we also looked at satisfaction with the study and influence by group. So these were one-item measures examining like overall how satisfied were participants with this project, and then overall how much did the study influence their smoking behavior. So as you can see, most participants, regardless of MI or health ed group, were very satisfied with the study. There was no significant interaction by race or group with study satisfaction or study influence. Not so high on the influence, but no difference between the groups. All right. So just to kind of summarize the results, okay, African Americans, even though they had a higher preference for expert direction than whites, this preference doesn't seem to negatively impact therapeutic alliance or study satisfaction. Both motivational interviewing and health education. Hello? Okay, we just went out for a second. Were perceived to be very valuable despite this preference. And also, it seems like participants really didn't detect the difference between motivational interviewing and health education. Like, it wasn't perceived. And surprisingly to note that even though participants feel like they prefer a certain type of counseling, that their reactions to the counseling differ from their expectations. Some of the limitations of the study that I do want to point out was that our sample of lower-income, middle-aged African-American smokers may not be representative of all African-American smokers. And then also we focused only on smokers who are not motivated to quit. So this the impact of counseling might look different for motivated smokers. Also, the counselors delivered both interventions. We actually compared motivational interviewing with health education and the brief advice. And to reduce any sort of counselor effects, counselors were trained to deliver all three types. But again, we controlled for that by actually having the fidelity monitoring of the counseling sessions. The other thing to note is that for participants who did say that they wanted to quit during the course of the study and actually set a quit date, they were offered planning and pharmacotherapy assistance to aid with their quit attempt. And so if someone in the motivational interviewing arm got that same assistance, they may not have perceived that to be different or really sort of consistent with the general theme of motivational interviewing. Okay. Thank you.